invite you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13 this morning. On this special occasion, we are looking at the book of Acts just for the morning. I think a very appropriate passage as we think of what the Lord is doing in His providence. Acts chapter 13, we'll begin our scripture reading at verse 1 and read through the third verse of Acts 13. In the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. There ends the reading of God's holy word. What a day it is for us, a day of rejoicing, a wonderful day as we think about God's provision of more servants for His church. To set aside a man for the office of deacon, what a great privilege and honor today. And to think about this only being the beginning, we have one more man to set apart for that office to ordain and install. The emotions are swirling around within us. We celebrate God's provision, but then we send God's provision off to Phoenix. They're gone. They're going to help God's church in another place. We're losing Brett and Elizabeth and Baxter and Oliver, a family that we've grown to love. After all, covenant is like a family. We're losing a gifted teacher, a leader, a person who has vision. We're losing someone who's been a servant of God's church, someone who by the grace of God is these things and more, and we certainly can appreciate that. We're going to have changes in regard to our stability. Two less Sunday school teachers, one less steering committee member, one less nursery head. We are here and the list could go on. And what do we do from here? There's a sense of grief and a sense of loss as they move on to Phoenix. We can immortalize the past as we look back. We can be overcome by fear of the future. Just what will God bring? What will God do? Where will we go from here? After all, we've lost Chad and Patty Voskel. We lost the Rollings and now the Chases. Perspective is also important for us as we consider this important day and as we look to the future. I can recall when I was a seminary student, a professor of mine used to draw an image on the board. I won't draw it for you because artistic gifts are something that I do not have. The image was that, if you looked at it, was rather round with two ears coming up, and as you looked at the image, it looked like a rabbit, and he did a pretty good job of drawing that rabbit. But you looked at it from that one perspective, you saw that it was a rabbit, but if you began to turn your head sideways and look at it, you saw that the ears of the rabbit began to form a bill. And that way, from that perspective, it was a duck. From one perspective, it was a rabbit. From the other perspective, it was a duck. It all depended on how you looked at it. The same is that with the Chases leaving. It depends on how you look at it. We will miss them as persons, people that we've loved. We will send them out. We will miss their gifts and talents. We will miss their encouragement along the way. We'll miss what they added to our congregation. However, perspective is very important. And it is this text in the book of Acts that gives us perspective on what is happening today as we hear about God's sovereign call to missionary service this morning. And we want to look at that sovereign call that God gives to missionary service. And we want to look at it from four vantage points. And the first vantage point is that of its dedicated setting. Its dedicated setting. Here in the book of Acts, as Paul and Barnabas are called from the church at Antioch, it comes in the midst of a church that was dedicated to the Lord. It's not an unusual or surprising thing that happened unexpectedly to this church. No, it was this church at Antioch that began out of a small ripple that began in the place of Jerusalem and then went to Judea and then Samaria. As Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, that God will send them out and the gospel will go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And God was doing just that as He brought it from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And now here in the book of Acts in chapter 13 and chapter 11, the gospel comes to Lebanon. It comes as well to the island of Cyprus. And now it comes to the place of Antioch. The very church at Antioch started out of this missionary movement. It was started out of the fact that others were sent as persecuted saints went from Jerusalem and Judea. They went out throughout the world and they came to the place at Antioch. The work that had started at Antioch was started as a missionary work, and it was not to stop there. It was to go on from that place. It is that perspective that we need this morning as we look at what is happening. As those emotions swirl around us, as we have this sense of joy over setting aside one to the ministry of diaconate, but as we have the sense of sorrow saying goodbye to those that we love, to recognize that we've been reached and therefore we must reach others. That what had happened in Antioch was really a beachhead, an invasion point for the gospel to go from a Jewish and Samaritan world to go to the ends of the known world, to the Roman center of the world there. It was there that it began, that the gospel was not just to stop at that point. We've been reached, and therefore we reach out. We've experienced the power of the gospel in our lives in covenant, and now we seek the Lord's direction to reach out to a pagan world. We've said to the Lord, Lord, make us an evangelistic church. Make us an outreaching church. Lord, use us. Lord, may we see ourselves impacting this community and beyond. And we've prayed that dangerous prayer, Lord, use us. And God has answered. God has answered just our prayer. He's done what we have not wanted in a sense. He said, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use you in ways that you don't expect. I'm going to set aside a man for ministry, but I'm going to send him and his family to other places. We've prayed to the Lord. We've said, God, we want you to use us as a missionary church, and He switched things all around. He changed things from what we expected. He challenged our comfort level. And He made us sacrifice for missions because that is the sort of God He is. He is a God bigger than what is happening at Covenant. He is a God who is calling the world to Himself. And God will do unexpected things in a dedicated setting such as Covenant. They had been praying and fasting, or worshiping and fasting. Fasting not in this case for repentance, but fasting to show their intensity, their searching for the will of God. They felt it necessary to lay aside at the church at Antioch their regular work and their regular demands of hunger to concentrate on serving God and receiving His guidance. And they come seriously before the Lord, taking seriously the Lord and His call. And therefore God calls, and He calls them and impresses missions upon the congregation to church that takes seriously the will of God. These things are going to happen. These things are going to happen. God is going to take important people and He's going to move them in places, in other places in His harvest field. Painful and as difficult as those things and movements by God are, I know you don't want to hear it. God is going to do that to us here at Covenant. He's going to do it in unexpected ways. He's going to take people from this dedicated setting and He's going to send them to other places in His kingdom, because He's the God who calls sovereignly when He wishes, as He wishes, to use as He desires. And He is called, like He had at Antioch, into this dedicated setting. But as we look at the text this morning, it's not only a sovereign call to missionary service, it has gifted servants as well as a dedicated setting. Some disciples from other places had got the church at Antioch started. Then the church sent Barnabas to help out the work in Antioch. Eventually, Paul or Saul comes along to help in the church there. They minister for a year and then they take a diaconal gift back to the church at Jerusalem to help the Jerusalem saints who were suffering in the midst of a famine. Eventually, Paul and Barnabas come back to this church in the city of Antioch for an undetermined part of time, and they're ministering in the church among a number of other leaders who are gifted. And the list comes in that first verse. Paul and Barnabas were thoroughly immersed into the life of the congregation there in Antioch, but now God is showing who was available for missionary service. And so you get the list of names and you get a sense of the mixture of culture and leadership was there. First, there was Barnabas. He was called the son of encouragement. He was a Levite from Cyprus. He was a good man. He's described in Acts 11, a man full of the Holy Spirit, a man who was highly respected, highly loved, a big encouragement, who would be a big hole to replace if he was brought away from the city of Antioch. Then there was Simeon. Simeon of Niger. The Latin word means black, and so many have thought that he was an African. He was part of the work there at Antioch. And then there was a third man, Lucius of Cyrene. That would be modern-day Libya. And he was definitely a North African who was part of the leadership team there in the church at Antioch. And then there was a man named Menahem, who grew up with Herod the Tetrarch, either as an adopted son, a playmate of Herod, or who was just an intimate friend. And last of all on the list, there was the man named Saul to fill it out. A great number of men, a great number of gifted servants for the work of God in that place. And what happens now, the Holy Spirit calls some of the most gifted there to go on and to bring the gospel to other places, to impact this church in other places. They give their best for missionary activity. Churches that look for more than mere survival or maintenance have a other-centered mentality that says God is doing a larger work than what is here at Covenant. And therefore, he's going to send people out from here to work and minister in his name. The mightiest men in the church at Antioch were sent out, and that was strange because Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. You would have thought, let those mighty men stay there who are very gifted by the Spirit of God. But God decided his work was broader. He needed gifted servants in other places. And we too are sending out some of our gifted servants from here. But yet gifted servants remain. Jeff will ably fill the office of deacon. Gordon and Ivan have shown their gifts and capabilities. And you ask yourself, well, why, Lord? Why do you do this? Why are you sending others out? Well, often you find a corresponding outlay and fruit to what you give in missions. What you give out is what you get. We say, Lord, you shouldn't do that. We need them. Lord, keep them here. But Judson, the great missionary, said this, it is a mistake to suppose that a dull and second-rate man is good enough for the heathen. The worst off need the very best that we have. God gave His best, even His only begotten Son, in order to redeem a lost world. The most darkened and degraded souls need the best thinking. David Livingston used to say this, God only had one son, and he was a missionary. And God has brought us to that juncture. We think, God, why not take the worst? God, why not take the weakest? Why not do something different? But we have to realize the giftedness of His church is for the church as a whole, and God is using our leaders to impact the world through them. And if we keep God's perspective on the issue, not that we won't miss the chases or not appreciate them, but we realize that God is sending His gifted servants to other places in His harvest field, then we'll acquiesce. Then we'll willingly submit. We'll say, yes, Lord. Phoenix needs the chases. We give them up with a sense of grief. The Church of Jesus Christ is not called to be static. It's not called to merely be a maintenance ministry. The Church of Jesus Christ is to go out and spread that good news of the gospel to the whole of the world. And God is moving things, and He's moving among us in ways that we didn't expect. But there are other capable leaders to fill in the gaps. We have Jeff Voskel, and we have Ivan, and we have Gordon, and we have Pastor Matosian, who's been sent by God for such a time as this. Other leaders will arise from within the congregation and outside the congregation. God takes away, but God provides as well for us here at Covenant. He provides gifted servants in His time and His way. For it is the sovereign call to missionary service and its gifted servants. But how did this all begin? Well, it began as they were worshiping and fasting, but it began by the work of the Spirit of God. He was the key player in what was going on. The church had expanded beyond Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria, Cyprus, even Antioch. But now there was a door to be opened that was much broader and wider than ever before. It was 25 years from the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And the church had flourished and grown in places like Judea and Samaria. And it had gone those places. But now God was going to open wide a door for ministry unheard of to the church. In the 13th chapter of the book of Acts and the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, we basically have the door open to the Gentile world. More than those who had a Christian or Jewish background, now the word was going out to other places. And now we have the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And now it was going to the very ends of the earth. And so in chapter 14, at the end of this section, it describes and summarizes it in this way. From Attali, they sailed back to Antioch, where they were committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. See, now, God was opening a wide open door to the Gentiles, to people who had never heard the good news. No longer was this some disbanded Christians who were pushed out by persecution who went to these various cities. But now God the Holy Spirit was initiating a new work. As this church gathered together in worship and fasting, God the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry." God had called through the church. The Holy Spirit was speaking to the church. We don't know exactly how He gave this message, but He said, "Set apart these two for the work of the ministry and send them out." God was acting and moving as the Holy Spirit was calling the church to set apart these for ministry. It's not enough to feel the desire to serve God. It's not enough to have a personal desire to be part of the ministry. There is not only that internal call of personal desire, but there is the external call of the church. Through the church, you're called to that ministry. And here, the Holy Spirit tells the church to set aside these two. The responsibility is laid upon the church for discerning this and fitting, because of the kind of church it was, worshiping and praying and fasting. The Holy Spirit works and moves among them. Henry Martin, the great missionary to India, said this, "The Spirit of Christ is a spirit of missions, and the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become." And what God does is, as we lay it before Him and we ask God to use us and be a missionary church, what happens is we get closer to Christ, the more missionary we become along the way. And what begins is the gospel goes out from our place to the ends of the earth. Here, now we begin Paul's three missionary journeys as the gospel makes its way to the center of the Roman world there. What the Spirit of God had done is He initiated through the church, and especially its leaders, and we must see today as the work of the Spirit of God as well. God has set apart a man for the office of deacon. God has called him, And the church has recognized that and elected him. It is a work of the Spirit of God. And what a wonderful work of the Spirit of God it is as he has moved and acted among us. And it will require of us submission to that. Yes, Lord, you have set him apart. And yes, Lord, we accept the fact that you're sending them out from here to Phoenix, God. We receive that. We accept that. You know, when the Holy Spirit works like this, it involves trust. God disclosed his will to this original church in Antioch, but it was rather vague. Notice what he says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I called them to." It doesn't say where they're to go. It doesn't describe their work. They'll get further directions along the way. But this was a typical church planning kind of call. Not to established work where things are comfortable. It's to go to a place to plant a church. Where? How? Why? How come? What's going to happen? It's like the call to Abraham. God says to Abraham, "Go to the land I will show you. Please, Lord, show it to me now. Lord, give me directions. Give me a picture brochure of what that land's going to look like. God, explain it to me." But he says to this Antiochian church, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas for this ministry to which I've called them." The call was clear, but the land and work weren't for them. Yes. Have you ever recognized that's the ways of the Lord? Often the Lord calls and it requires an adventurous step of faith for those who send and for those who remain and for those who go. And when Luke talks about it in Luke 9, he says, "When God calls, the man who puts his hand to the plow cannot look back because he's not fit for the service in the kingdom of God if he looks back." In other words, in order to plow a straight row, you got to look ahead. You can't be looking back. You won't have a straight row. When God calls, you have to move and you have to act and you have to respond and you have to let go. Spencer Walton, a missionary, wrote in his diary, "The will of God, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else." And today, this is the will of God. This is the will of God to set a man apart for the ministry of the diaconate. And it is the will of God to send them to Phoenix and to see how God will use them, not knowing what will happen. It's uncertain days for the church here at Covenant. It's uncertain days for these loved couple and their children. It's uncertain days from one perspective, but not really. Because it is the sovereign Holy Spirit who calls to missionary service, who sets apart and who equips and who prepares and who supplies for them. And so it is the Holy Spirit that sets them aside and sends them out. Well, we have the sovereign call to missionary service, its Holy Spirit-initiated nature. And then the fourth vantage point is its dedicated send-off. Notice verse 4 of the text, a little bit further than our text, "The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit." Here the call came through the church, but it was a call of the Holy Spirit through the church. The church at Antioch hadn't lost the art of worship. They come worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Lord answers them, and he calls them to set apart these for ministry. And then they place their hands on them and pray and send them out. And the Holy Spirit is really the one sending them out through the church there. They fasted and prayed because they were serious about this issue and about this commissioning of Paul and Barnabas to the work that they were going to do. And when God calls, we need to release even the most important and the most valued, because it's the Holy Spirit who is working and acting in this way. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives them a divine commission as they're sent out in verse 4, and we must obey and trust in the work of God's Spirit. One commentator describes the situation and calls us and invites his readers this way. capture some of the confidence, some of the enthusiasm, some of the vision, some of the power here. Definitely there were struggles, but the church was overwhelmed by the Spirit and thrust out to witness. Here this morning, we have captured some of the confidence, some of the enthusiasm, some of the vision and power as God has worked and acted in our midst and God is sending out. We are overwhelmed by the work of the Spirit of God today. And it is a wonderful thing that God has prepared things. In Antioch, it was no longer just the persecuted saints that were taking the gospel, but now the church had grasped the larger vision of taking the good news to the gospel to the nations. And now the momentous step was going to be taken to send out the cream of the crop, to let them go on and move on, because now was the important hour. Covenant Church is not static. Praise God. Covenant Church has momentum. Covenant Church, by the grace of God, has a vision for missions and outreach and evangelism. And we must recognize that this church is on the move, just like things were on the move 2,000 years ago. That we take heart that covenant is a place where the Spirit of God is setting apart servants of Him and sending them out, and that covenant is battering the very gates of hell. That Jesus said, I will build my church and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. That picture isn't Satan and the gates of hell attacking the church, but the picture is the church attacking the gates of hell and knocking them down. And that is what God is doing as He is taking the gospel from covenant and ringing that gospel out in Muskego and Franklin and New Berlin. And as He's taking that gospel and ringing it out from beyond here to send to Phoenix to serve God there. The Lord is on the move. And we must listen. We must submit. We must obey God, what God is doing in His providence. See, the vision is taking us further and higher. It's taking this church to send a family to Phoenix, a great center of population with a great need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God who inspires the vision to go on, to expand outward, to move on. God is doing a great work and we need not fear. God is doing a great work and you and I are part of it. His church is on the move and that is good news that it is happening. And what covenant needs, God will provide in His time and His way. After all, He is the sovereign God who calls to missionary service. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are bowed in Your presence, awed by what You have done in our days and in these recent days at Covenant, as You have set aside servants for Your kingdom and Your glory. We thank You for the way You set aside Brett today and the way You'll set aside Jeff later. Oh, Father, we pray for Brett and Elizabeth as they go from here. We pray, O God, that You might use them for Your kingdom, that You would use them, O Lord, to stir Your church, to grow Your kingdom. We pray that You would provide them with the needed wisdom and strength and grace. We pray, O Lord, for the transitions as they move from this place, that, O Lord, You would help them with all the details that happen. We thank You for Brett, for Elizabeth, for Baxter, for Oliver, for what they mean to this church and what they mean to their families, Father. We thank You for Your work in their lives, and we pray that You would continue it and continue Your work here at Covenant. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.